Here is That Which Is with John Morton. That Which is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Morton is the spiritual director of MSIA. He has given seminars and workshops worldwide for MSIA, for the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and for other organizations dedicated to improving people's lives. This program is entitled, I Love You. Right after John Morton speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about John Morton and MSIA.
There's nothing in the world that has any authority over your direct experience inside. You can attempt to give it authority, and I see that occurring often. It just doesn't have any authority. So you're worshiping false gods. You're worshiping nothing when you let things in the world govern what you experience inside. It doesn't have that authority. What has authority is your direct experience. You can call upon the traveler. You can call upon God, however you do that, to assist you, to understand, to know, to direct you, to give you guidance. You have a responsibility to do so. How do you do that? Well, you do it in direct communion. And the direct communion is that you have this relationship through the line of authority that we're working with. So there's a communion that we do ritually on occasion. Certain occasions we have the clearing through spirit to do that. But so it's not something like, well, I'd like to have spiritual communion right now. Okay. That's between you and the Christ. If you're talking about, can I have the ceremony of spiritual communion, that's something we do when it's clear to do that. Whenever something of the light comes into the world, there's this aspect of the world that we would relate to as darkness and negativity. And it has a way of relating to the light, but it doesn't relate to it, and it negates it. So when something on that order happens, it's not all that surprising. It's more or less on schedule. Now we just look at how we respond to that when there is a lack of knowing. One way to relate to it is when you're with that one who would consider themselves the enemy or against you, that you find a way to agree with them. You find a way to accept and cooperate with what they're doing. It doesn't mean that there's not a difference in what's being said. But, you know, one of the ways that Jesus said it is, you know, the Lord does not tempt me. So the one who tempts me, and often the temptation is in, let me slap you. And one of the ways that Jesus related to the slapping is then turn the other cheek. So if there is a striking that comes from the world towards you, and you realize that as best you can, that whatever you were doing, it was not against whoever is striking against you. It just appears that there's something going on when you go in the world, something happens. The other night, we were just looking for a restaurant to have a meal. And I saw a door that went into the interior of the restaurant, and I just smacked right into it. And it was pretty shocking because in a few seconds, there was blood coming down from my eye. So I smacked it pretty hard. And I was looking at that about, what was that? Was that stupidity, not paying attention? And certainly I can find that. We can all find that if we look. But I was also, you know, looking back at it and saying, well, what was it about that? So that I saw a door open where there was a plate glass. And, you know, as I looked at it, I realized, well, there was something about the clear glass that I related to as an opening, so that was one part of it. But I missed the section that functioned as the door. It was one section over. So I was looking, well, how did you miss the section? And why wouldn't you just wait for the glass to open in some way, or find out if it will open by pushing on it or pulling on it before you would just barge in and smack yourself in the eye? I didn't really have too good an answer for that one. And I'm still looking at it. Tonight I was ironing my nice shirt so that I would really look very spiritual when I came here. And I looked down, and there, I don't know if you've ever burned clothes with an iron, but there was a dark brown impression from the iron, complete with where the steam holes come in. And I was really confounded by that. You know, like, what happened? You've done ironing before. You've done it lots of times. And in my mind, I put the iron down, and then I looked down, and the shirt was burned. That fast as I just told you, in my mind, that's what happened. Now, of course, my mind also tells me, well, that's not possible. It would have had to been down there for several seconds to really do, you know, that kind of damage. It wasn't, you know, that hot. You can put something on there for a few seconds. So I was really wondering, well, what was the lapse about? And then I kind of looked at it, you know, what happened the other night? Well, what was that lapse about? And then what's this one about? And I'm just looking at, well, is there something going on here so that, you know, I need to be more careful about what I'm doing in the world, because I'm bumping into things and I'm burning things, and I think I'm better at managing the world than to do that. So I'm still looking, and I was remembering a story I heard John Roger tell about when he was ironing a shirt. And I may not have this right, but it's on tape somewhere, so somebody else may remember it but much better than I do. But I think he was also getting ready to go do a seminar and a talk, and so that when he became conscious from when he was ironing a shirt, he was lying down and didn't remember what happened from when he was ironing the shirt to how did he come get lying down, and then the shirt was somewhere, you know, nicely ironed, and it had been a long time, but he didn't really have, you know, a conscious awareness of that. And then I've got this tied in with him telling about having to drive to the seminar, and it was very rainy, like pouring down, very difficult, and he started getting very sleepy, and he noticed that there was a hitchhiker under an underpass, and he picked him up. And when the hitchhiker got in the car, their entire attire, shoes, shirt, clothes, everything was impeccably dressed. Like, there was no sign that that they had been on the road is as if, you know, they came from the cleaners or something. You know, everything was impeccable. And so I thought that was kind of odd. And then as he started driving further, he got more tired and pulled over at some point and let the person that he had picked up drive the car. And then I don't remember what happened next, but it was something very mystical took place. Something in the spirit. Now I'm looking at and saying, well, okay, well, why are we telling these people about that? You know, and in answer to somebody's query here, much of what goes on spiritually is working in parallel to the mundane, to the ordinary, so that it has an invisible quality, that it is mystical, it is spiritual, and yet when you look at it, it could be the most mundane, ordinary thing. Like you've been tending sheep for 10 straight years, and one day all the sheep appear majestically beautiful, like they're somehow angelic beings. And what would it be that such that on that day you would see them in that manner, and previously you would see them as these sheep that you have to tend. And I know some of you seek, maybe even desperately seek, to have more awareness spiritually and to be more conscious spiritually. So what I'm telling you is don't bypass the mystical spiritual quality in the mundane things. Pay attention. The byword in the physical level going up into spirit for the initiate is to pay attention, to be attentive, to be aware, to be awake. And from that awareness, you will gain guidance. You will be allowed to transcend what's going on physically and move into the spirit. Often it's a, well, I'm going to call it a parallel experience, which means what's going on physically in the mundane world is occurring while the spiritual amazing experience is happening. With your eyes open, you'll see the mundane experience. You'll hear it, you'll sense it. The spiritual will be occurring in the aspect of your consciousness that is spiritual. There's a thing about travelers, and it goes, if we talk about something, it's happening. Even if the traveler doesn't know it, it's still happening. It's that what's being addressed is what is. So as you address the traveler, as you face yourself, bring your consciousness to the traveler, then the traveler will address you in the truth. That will be the consciousness of the traveler that comes to you is a living truth. And that's one of the signs that you'll know the traveler by, is that there is a demonstration of what is being talked about. There's an opportunity right now in this moment to experience it for yourself directly. And if you don't find that to be so, then you should consider that you're not working with the traveler, or the traveler is not working with you. And when I say you're not working with the traveler, that whoever's doing this is an imposter. You know, that they say they're the traveler, or they represent themselves, but they're not doing it because there's not, the experience is not coming across. It's being talked about as though it's some theory or it's some idea. We're not dealing in theory. We're dealing in a reality that is. So if it's being talked about, it's because it's present. And when the traveler in you talks, it's also present. And some of you are aware of that at times where you realize what you're speaking. It's as though there's a power in your voice, there's a power in your thought that is affirming to you the authenticity of which you speak, so that you know the level that you know. Often in that experience, there's much far beyond it. You don't have to be concerned that you don't know all of it. We're not capable of knowing it all as a human consciousness. It doesn't work that way. Be patient. There are many aspects of the way the traveler works with you that are indirect, through somebody else, through a situation. And if you're paying attention, the traveler will leave some sign for you to know, some signature that the traveler was doing that. Your mind's going to want to mess with that experience by doubting it, by wanting something more direct. You know, Jer, was that you, etc. Maybe you'll get a more direct response. It's in your favor to learn how to work indirectly. Spirit is seen indirectly from this world. So if you're watching, then you can see where my left hand is. That's how spirit's seen. Now physically, I'm not seeing the hand. So how am I seeing it? Well, I can mock it up. And as I said that, I started seeing it. Then as I claimed it, I stopped seeing it. So there's an aspect of looking at the spirit that if you hold the indirect vision, then you can see it more clearly and more directly. But as soon as you attempt to look at it directly from a physical, psychic standpoint, it evaporates. It's very ephemeral in that way. If you're aware of this light over here that's moving and this one on the right isn't, that's part of how this works, is paying attention to where there's movement, where the energy is flowing. You don't need to move yourself. It's important that you learn how to be still in your own consciousness so that you can work with the subtle nature of the spirit. It's very gentle. It's like learning how to get close to a wild animal who doesn't generally get close. How do you do that? Part of it is making yourself familiar so that what you do is merge with the vibration of the spirit. You become like the spirit. There's a kind of tension that starts happening. That works like a vibration. So if you're watching my finger and left hand, it could be a tension like that that just gradually shifts. And comes still. And in that moment of stillness, there's an opportunity to see directly by seeing indirectly, by allowing yourself to let go of your psychic material nature so that you're no longer that. You become what you're looking at. And you look at it from direct experience by experiencing what it is. The more powerful experience is by being the nature of what you experience. So you're no longer outside of it, observing. Become your own source. Some of you can see that there's light coming off the end of the finger. It would look somewhat like a fountain going out. There's a place in the spirit that functions in silence, and there's also a light that dims like a sunset as a dimming. And how you become aware of the greater light is by the lesser light dimming. So as you allow that process to turn, so the lesser light becomes dimmer. Then a new light can appear, a more subtle light that you would not be able to see because the lesser light will have a radiation that it's like it interferes with your seeing. It's a way of relating to the rays, the light rays. The subtleties are that you can move through the radiation of the light and start seeing the characteristics of the light, the more subtle vibrations. As you learn to work with the light in this way, being more attuned to the subtler vibrations and radiations, then the sound, of spirit that we refer to as the sound current, becomes more apparent to you. Those of you who are initiates can be aware of the chanting of your tone. Those of you who have not been yet initiated into the causal level or above can chant the Anahi Hu. It's all inwardly. And we make ourselves available to a wave of energy. Some of you haven't been here for a while. Just be aware of that, that this place is available to you. Allowing yourself to go deeper, allowing yourself to expand. There's a warmth around you that you can experience around your face and head. And you could be experiencing it all around the body as well. It's a way of knowing that you're allowing yourself to be immersed in the light, the presence of the Spirit. When it comes upon you, it touches every cell, every part of you. So you're embraced in a very beautiful energy, a light, a radiance. You're being caressed. You're also being made aware of some things that are important to remind yourself about. In a moment, I'm going to count from 10 to 1. By the time I get to 1, I'll be done with what I'm doing with you personally. And if you want to stay quiet with what's present for you, that's fine. And if you want to be awake and alert in the room, that's also fine. In case you missed it, I love you. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Be'erush Be'shan.
John Morton's closing words were Be'erush Be'shan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Morton has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Morton. Thanks for joining us.